Hey, good morning, church. Good morning. Awesome. Hey, do you remember last week? I jumped up here during worship. I don't know if many of you were up here, but if you were, I started praying for a child. I didn't want to name the child because, I didn't want to overwhelm the parents and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know what happened this week? The parents messaged me, and I'm going to read exactly what they shared with me. And welcome to the world. Congratulations to Josh and Lisa and Isaac. I really, really want to read this out, like, verbatim, because they just said, Penin, this is what happened after you guys prayed. We welcome Isaac. Salgado. Yeah, I didn't want to mess that up. Salgado, on the 12th of June, weighing 2.8 kilograms. Thank you to all the church community who have been praying for him. Even in his short life so far, he has been a testimony of God's goodness to us. Isaac had a dramatic start to life with a medical emergency in the first couple of hours of his birth, being rushed to NICU at Monash Children's, where he was stabilized and given breathing support. Isaac has been so resilient over the last few weeks, unfazed with any medical tests and treatments. At this stage, he is expected to make a full recovery. Since our prayer points last week, Isaac has come off the ventilator, CPAP machine, and has been breathing completely unassisted since Monday. Yeah. He has skipped. You remember I prayed for this? His milestones. He has skipped his 3 to 4 milestones, and he was downgraded from NICU to special care where he's being monitored. Lisa and Josh have been well supported over the last few weeks by the family and friends. If there is anything you would like to do, please continue to pray for Isaac. And these are the prayer points, and we're going to pray for this in a minute. That he may continue to recover fully, feeds well, puts on weight, and favorable results for his tests that haven't yet come back. And we really hope that he can come home soon. Isn't that good? Monday, awesome. Let me pray. And if there's anyone else here that just needs a bit of prayer, that just is feeling not that great, we're going to pray for you as well this morning. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for this testimony. Thank you so much that Isaac has, is just stepping so well into this, God. We thank you so much for your presence over this family. And we thank you so much for all the people that are in this place who are just continually praying and supporting them. The life groups that are providing dinners and all that sort of stuff, God, we thank you so much for that. And Lord, we pray for him to continue to recover. And we pray for all those who are unwell in this place. We know that you are the God that heals. You are the God that is above all things. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your most holy name. And everyone said, amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Josh and Lisa, for letting us share that. That's amazing. And before we get started, I just really want to come back to what we were doing, for the last couple of months, which was the spiritual gifts surveys and the tests and all that sort of stuff. I don't know if you all have done it yet. When I did mine, can you all guess what I got with task or people? Are we saying task? Yeah, I'm task. Am I structured or unstructured? Structured. What was that? Yes, I'm fairly unstructured. I just go with the flow. And the ones that anytime I'm sort of around too many people too much, You see me sort of step back a bit. That's what I was, task and unstructured. My spiritual gifts were craftsmanship, leadership, discernment, help, and mercy. Naomi, what did you get? Do you remember? Task? Task people?
I'm people, and yep. I'm structured. I'm the opposite of you.
Perfect. We can work well together. And do you remember your spiritual gifts?
I think it was mercy, pastor and shepherd, words of knowledge, encouragement, something along those lines.
Yeah. I remember exaltation or something in there. So if you haven't done it yet, please do it. It's actually really helpful for us because I'll tell you a story. Like one of the guys that was serving with us was just exhausted every time he served with us. And I'm like, what are you doing that is so exhausting? And then we actually looked through his gifts and all that sort of stuff. We're like, we actually need to shift you from this role to this role, or we limit this portion of your role. And it helped him so much to sort of go, and just find his place. So if you haven't filled them in, please fill them in and then send them to us. And it's not so that we can contact you and say, hey, I heard that you're good at this. Can you come and serve here or serve here? No. There'll only be a limited amount of people that will see it. And it helps our conversations with you. When you are going through something, to be able to look through, to be able to have a resource where you can go, hey, let's have a look at this. Is this working for you? Is this not? That, we can work out weaknesses and your strengths, and then we can better place you if we need to. So that's why it's really helpful. I know for me, I am very non-administrative. It wears me out. Like doing something that just on Excel wears me out. And I was so surprised when I met someone that was really into Excel. I'm like, how is that possible? It is just, how does this energize you? Doing rosters, how does that energize you? Putting things in order, and it does. For them, they just do it. And so I remember when I was starting in this role and I was so stressed out doing rosters, I passed it on. And it was like, this person just, boom. So Hannah used to do that. Now Vanessa. Vanessa's a legend. Just, boom, done. So that's why it's also helpful. It's also being able to, identify those sorts of things. So yes, that's that section of things. Please, yes, hand them in and jump to our website, put it through. All right. Now to this series. I love this series. I love the title. It's worship. Worship. So no, don't worry. We're not going to be just every week. We're just going to be singing, because worship is not all about singing. Worship is all encompassing. It's surrendering, it's honoring. The meaning of worship is giving due worth. And we believe that God is worth it. So that's why we worship. So worship, we call worship the singing portion. We just call it that. But there is so much more to it. So we're going to go through that. So this week, we're starting with the W. You can see the W in worship. And obviously that is worship. Yeah? Come with me here. O is outreach. Right, we're going to be talking about outreach, and Dr. Clement Lowe will be talking about that because he has a deep passion to see the lost come to know God. Relationships is the R, Pastor Kyle, and he might have a special guest with him. S for stewardship, and that's Tim Wong, ways to honor God with the things that he has gifted us with. H, who can guess H? Almost. Helps. We came up with holidays because the R and the S were taken because we wanted rest or Sabbath, because we really think that that's a really important aspect of worship. So the only thing that we could come up with is holidays. So that's what we have for H. I am in Christ with guest speaker Kathy DeWitt, and prayer is Sir Ron with prayer and prophecy. So it is going to be a really good series on how we can better worship God with the gifts that we have and just getting people who are so passionate about these topics to be able to speak on it. And as you can tell, because of who you've got here, we got two really passionate people about worship. So we're going to share about worship, and we're going to break it into two parts where I will share about how our personal worship carries over to the corporate worship. In this corporate setting, and then Naomi will talk about worship in her everyday. So yeah, the funny thing was when we're coming up with this, I've been sharing little bite pieces for the worship team, and I always thought that these were going to stay as bite pieces for the worship team, but I really believe that sometimes he gives a message for one, sometimes he gives it for a few, and sometimes he gives it for the many. And what clarified it a bit more was when I contacted Naomi about, hey, they want to do a series on worship. Do you want to jump in and share your heart on worship? We talked a bit, and then she said, hey, I want to talk about this verse. And then I was like, guess what? It's the same verse. And that's when I went, yep, this is something that God really wants us to talk about this morning. So I'm going to ask Naomi to read this and give us a bit of context.
I'm Naomi. So Penin and I are going to be drawing from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to chapter 4, verse 6. And I'm just going to provide a little bit of context from this passage. So Colossians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Colossae. And this wasn't actually started by Paul. It was started by a dear friend and minister named Epaphras. And he informed Paul of some of the societal pressures and false teachings that this church was being exposed to. And so Paul writes this letter to this church and shares his love and joy for what they're doing, saying how proud he is of them. And then he encourages them by reiterating the supremacy of Christ. That Christ is God, that he is greater than any kind of reality that they are experiencing, that he is the ultimate authority. And all things are created through Christ and for Christ, and it is in Christ that all things hold together. And this was chapter one. And then he goes on to explain in the later chapters that from this truth that Christ is supreme and he is the ultimate authority, that this is how we are to live as his chosen people. And the passages we have drawn from is explaining what this looks like in the context of the body of Christ. Then within the household, and I will be particularly honing in on the servants and earthly masters relationship. Yes, we're not servants, but I think we have different kinds of earthly masters, aka our employers or our bosses. And then also how we conduct ourselves with those who don't know Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and read. So Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's me. That's my job. Yep, sorry, that's my job. Yep, I'll take this with me.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is more than just words on a piece of paper. But God, they are words that are life-giving. They are words that heal. They are words that restore. There are words that forgive. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your word and your message to us this morning. As we speak these things, use us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is where Paul shifts us from the old humanity to the new humanity, where we can go from just doing checklists, doing things, to knowing that we are set apart, holy, dearly loved, where we operate out of our love for God, which turns, in turns, overflows out to one another in compassion, being kind, humble, gentle, patience, and out of the overflow of not just trying to do such things, but just out of love. And so I'm going to be touching a bit more on these these verses here. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you have grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. So now, how do we bear with one another? We're all so different. How do we forgive one another when someone hurts us? Because it sounds like to me, when we do these things, we will bring peace. And we will bring that perfect unity. And I realized, you know, reading through, not just, obviously, just this verse, but so many times through the Bible, it's on that last few words that he said, that I just read out, and it is to be thankful. And sometimes we forget to be thankful for the things that we have. We forget to be thankful for one another. We forget that we are where we are because of who God is and what he has done for us. You're in a room like full of just wonderful people who really have the same heart to see God lifted up above all things. But yet we struggle sometimes to just be thankful for one another. You know, there was one time I got the worship team to sit in a circle, one of the teams, and I was saying, hey, let's just one by one just give thanks to one another. Like say something that someone has done for you. So in the saying, they were okay. But in the receiving, they're all so awkward. They couldn't receive the thank you. You were so good at this. You were so good at help. And like, oh, no, don't have to talk about me. No, it's all right. You can pass me. I'm like, it really showed me that and uncovered that we are so not used to it. We're so not used to just being thankful for one another. We're so not used to receiving it. We feel like it is bad to receive thankfulness, bad to receive things that are good. I don't want us to have that culture, you know. This is where the love comes from. This is where restoration comes from, you know, being able to say and speak to one another, being thankful to one another. You know, and Paul repeatedly says it in his letters. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Wherever the church is in disunity, whether it's going well, he would constantly just say, I thank God for you. And simply because God loves everyone. He wants the best for everyone. He created us in his image. Be thankful for one another. And you know what I realized also? It's really hard to be thankful for someone when you're upset with them. And then sort of like you're really cut, but then you got to in your heart say, I'm thankful for you. And if you do that, if you can go through that, that's when you sort of all that restoration sort of comes and that peace and that patience comes. It just gets drawn out when you start to say, God, I thank you for you. When we become thankful, we become grateful, it settles us. So be grateful. Be thankful. You know, when Paul was in prison, he was still grateful and thankful that he was still able to write. And then this, on verse 15. I've got the same things right, yeah? Cool. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, songs of this from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all these in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And realizing that peace doesn't come without thankfulness. Thankfulness can't come without peace. They go hand in hand. Peace and thankfulness go hand in hand. You can't find peace and be ungrateful. You can't be grateful and not have peace. And when I mean peace, I'm not talking about the peace, like just settle in yourself kind of peace. I'm talking about shalom, which is wholeness. Is to be complete. Doesn't that just feel so nice? Wholeness. When I'm thankful, it's making me whole. It's filling me whole again. And isn't that what every generation says? Like the last generation or this generation or the one, it is such a difficult time. It's because we don't have that wholeness. We don't have that peace. We're not thankful for one another. We're creating walls. We're fighting. We're dividing ourselves. But we're not thanking God for each one of us and what he has made. And that's why I say again and again that you can't have thankfulness without peace. You can't be peaceful without thankfulness. And again, Paul says that over and over again in his letters. Just, what's he say? Grace and peace be with you. He constantly says that in every letter, just blessing them. Grace and peace be with you. Grace and thankfulness. Peace. I remember when I was working at an audiovisual company. It was one of the biggest audiovisual companies. I don't know how big they are now or whatever, but I was working with them as a project manager. And I was constantly put with the most difficult people. Every time I got to a job, I was just put with difficult contractors or difficult people that are just working underneath me or whatever, and I'm having to figure all this sort of stuff out, and they're just frustrating me. And I always ask God, why? Like, why are you doing this? Like, aren't I favorable in your eye? You know, you kind of think I'm a Christian, I'm following you, God. God, help me out, do these things for me. And it was just so hard. Like, each day I'd be rocking into work, and the people that I was working with were so difficult. And then what I realized was I had to stop asking why and what, and instead turn it to what. Like, what does God want me to learn from this? What is it that you are trying to help me with here, God? And my frustration for each person turned into thankfulness for each person. They all had different personalities, and that's the beauty of it, you know? We're all different. And it's beautiful. If we're different and we're thankful for the differences, you can really learn more from someone when you start asking what instead of why. Amen. You can get, like for myself in projects, I started to get the best out of them because I started to know what their strengths were. God, I thank you that this person can talk so much, even though I don't need so much talking, because he can deal with the clients. They can deal with the things that I needed them to deal with. Or if they're just really, you know, they don't want to talk and they just want to work super hard, I could go, oh, okay, you're doing that. Okay, I'm just going to leave you in their space and they'll just work. So I started to be thankful for the team. And ultimately, I definitely had peace in my heart going from that workplace into this place. And, you know, God just teaching me, like, each one of you are different. And teaching me that conversations that we have, I'm going to be able to draw different things from you. And the more thankful I am for each one of you, I would come into this place, not with a broken heart or a frustrated heart, I would come here with a restored heart. And I realized that this is what Sunday is about. It's coming here into this place with a thankful heart. Not needing some sort of resolution in my life or anything like that, but just going, God, I thank you that I can come here each week, worship you. And that was the way that, for me, it sort of changed. Now, you know, I know a lot of people say things like, you know, just leave your troubles at the door and all that sort of stuff, but how often do we just pick them up on our way out? Because we don't clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, goodness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. You know, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since you're all members of one body. So imagine if we came to this place thankful, ready, with peace in our hearts. It wouldn't matter what was happening on stage. It wouldn't matter if the lights were the wrong colors and it was just like, I don't like this. God would still take center stage, because peace in your heart will overflow into love, no matter the situation. And in that, in this place, we'll be united. A community and this is what the community needs to see, yeah? They need to see a community in this place that is of one heart and of one mind. Thankfulness leading to peace, and in turn as a corporate, leading to unity in this house. You know, I'm just going to take a couple of sidesteps. Worship, in the singing sense, where we, you know, start off each morning, is the one time that we're saying the one thing to God. And that's the united part of us. We're saying this one thing, we're singing it all to Him, and we're united. And my second side note, I just want to address something which I know comes up here and then, and since I've got a microphone, I'm going to share it. And it is a bit of confidence and trust that you all have to give to us. And it's lyrics. Sometimes we see songs up on the screen, and you know we all sing it and all that sort of stuff. But then sometimes, hey, you sort of look at it and go, oh, I don't know if I agree with that line, or I don't know if that word or something like that. I guess from myself leading this, I want to say that we do take it really seriously. Like each song, even when the worship team or the worship leaders send it to me, go through a rigor. Like I would literally, because there are websites like Song Selector, which we have access to, which goes through every single line in all the songs, and they give you like every single verse that is accurate and is not or whatever. So whenever these guys send me songs, and whenever anyone sends us songs, which they do a lot, we would literally go through that. And I guess in a way, I just need you to trust that we do go through a process. But if any time you feel like, hey, I can't sing that, it's okay. Just don't let the song pass, and maybe you and I or whoever can have a conversation about it, because it is really, really important that we get those things right. But sometimes you all have to realize as well is that sometimes the songwriter writes it in a particular context. And so when you sing it or when you're in your context, you kind of think, hey, that doesn't work for me. And that's okay. But know and trust that we do go through it. We don't just put any songs up. There have been many, many, many songs that I've gone, no, we that won't work. That doesn't cut it. And yeah, Song Select and all that sort of stuff, those websites literally tell you all the lines, every verse, what links to what context the songs were written in, all that sort of stuff. So there are a couple of side notes that I just wanted to say, because I think it's just really important to address, yeah? So yeah, just let you know that. So last thing before I pass it over to you, Naomi, is this. I just really want us to remember this, is that gratitude leads us to peacefulness, which leads us to unity, which leads us to one body singing one song, worshipping one God. All right, over to you.
Can we just give a hand for Pinin? I know that was him really outside of his comfort zone. I still remember the both of us when we were messaging each other. We were saying, should we just sing a song? Because that would just make it so much easier for ourselves. But we are here because we believe that God's put certain messages on our hearts, and we just want to share that. So thank you so much, Pinin. I am grateful for you, despite how different you are from me. So I'm going to be sharing on how can we show worship to God outside the church. And I'll be specifically sharing two ways that I learned to worship God in my workplace, because that's my everyday and that's what I do outside the church in my 9-to-5. And hopefully you might be able to apply this in your own lives. Before I start, I thought I'd share a little bit about myself. So the first picture is of me and my husband. He requested that I put a photo of him when I introduced myself. So this is Duk. He is a teacher as well as the youth director in our church. And we have a deep passion for the young people in Clayton Church of Christ. And we deeply want to invest in them. And then the second photo here is actually when I got admitted as a lawyer. So this was during COVID. And I couldn't receive my certificate in person, couldn't go to the Supreme Court in person, but a dear friend of mine sent me some flowers to celebrate the occasion, so I took a photo, and currently I work for the ATO, I work for government, and I provide internal legal advice on complex tax matters. So how do I bring worship to God in this sphere of my life? And honestly, what I do is I simply do my best for the Lord. It says in verse 22-23, Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. And I really like the Amplified version. It says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul, that is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. And I'll be really honest, I actually get challenged by this passage all the time, time and time again in my life. Yes, I studied law and music in university, but if anyone knows me for a bar of soap, music is definitely the greater passion of the two. But here it says, Naomi, whatever task you're given, whatever role you have, or whatever season of work I am in, I am to put my very best effort and work with all my heart. And I just really want to take this time to encourage anyone who may be feeling frustrated that you are not where God has called you to be. Maybe you are not progressing in your career as much as you hoped you would be. Maybe you're a full-time mom or dad and you've taken a step back away from your career. Or maybe you're like me, who has a passion but just hasn't found the way to be paid for it yet. I want to encourage you with this, that the God we work for is faithful, that he has a perfect plan for you and I. And when we are faithful with what God has given us in the now, when the time comes for us to step into the calling that we believe that God has placed on our hearts, we will be ready, we will be fully equipped and prepared for that work. And I want to share with you a verse that always comforts me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Our role is to give our very best efforts in whatever task we're given, whatever responsibility is placed upon us, and whatever season of work we are in. Working with all our heart and all our soul, knowing that the God we work for is trustworthy and faithful. Amen. Do you believe that the God you are working for is trustworthy and faithful? Do you believe that God has a perfect plan for you and I? And he will, not maybe, he will make your path straight. The second thing that I have learned to bring worship in my everyday is taking opportunities to share my faith. In this passage, it says, be persistent and devoted to prayer. And then Paul goes on to say, at the same time, pray for us too. He's asking the church, pray for us too, that God will open a door of opportunity to us for the word to proclaim the mystery of Christ. He then goes on to say, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, that is, non-believers. And make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. And I really believe here that Paul is telling the church of Colossae that we are representatives of Christ. And our purpose is to proclaim the mystery of Christ. So let us conduct ourselves in our respective 9 to 5 in a way that represents that. I just want to share a little quick story. In my job, I had a particular colleague who was my supervisor, and I would have maybe weekly coffee breaks with them. And this happened over a few months, and during this time, this person had learnt that I was a believer. I volunteered for youth ministry. I met my husband at church, etc., etc. And one day, this person shared with me about some struggles they were having with their relationship with their partner. And I remember they asked me, Naomi, how do you manage conflict? And how do you forgive in your marriage? And I still remember holding my chai latte cup and going, whoa, that's a really loaded question. And I took a moment and then I said, if I'm really honest, my faith is the very thing that my marriage stands upon. My husband and I, we live upon this belief that we are broken and sinful. But Jesus gave up his life to save us from our sins so that we could be in relationship with God. And it's from this example of sacrificial love, of laying down one's life for another, that I can extend this same love to my husband. When he does something to hurt me, when he makes mistakes, or when he doesn't deserve it. And he does the same for me. We forgive one another and we give each other the grace to try again. And I recall this person saying, "That's really beautiful. I wish I could have that." And I just want to challenge us. Are we ready for opportunities to share our faith? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become aware of the fact that the life we are living now is temporary. And until we enter into eternity, our purpose in this life is to proclaim the mystery of Christ. It is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus Christ has commanded. And I think there are times when we get caught up in our everyday life, our everyday motions, we work, eat, sleep, and then repeat, that we forget the ultimate purpose that we are meant to be living for, which is to proclaim the mystery of Christ, in which Paul was in chains. I was actually just thinking of something the other day, and I was like, oh, should I share it? And you know what? I will. So I was in a Chinese restaurant the other day. Bear with me. I was in a Chinese restaurant the other day, and the food I was eating was super salty. And the first thing that I wanted was to grab a glass of water to satisfy my thirst from this salty food that I was eating. And I was thinking to myself, in the Bible it says we are the salt and light of this world. And as salt of this world, we should be conducting ourselves in a way that makes people realize that they need the living water that only Jesus gives. Oh, you're making me laugh, guys. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Yes. That in our conversations and when we share our faith and when we are conducting ourselves in the interactions of the people around us, we should be making them aware that they are missing something and that they are in need of a Savior. Are we doing that? Are we being salt and light in this world? Are we making the most of opportunities to share our faith and conducting ourselves in a way that draws people to Christ? I just want to share a few quick tips of how we can take opportunities to share our faith with others. And really, it's just one tip, and I'm looking at the time, so I'll go through these pretty quickly. It's actually just to pray. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Be persistent and devoted to prayer." But what can we pray for? What can we pray for? And one of the things that I had here was pray that God will open up a door of opportunity. Pray that God will lead you to the people who are seeking after God. In the book of Luke, when Jesus sends out the 72, he calls this the man of peace, the one who is ready to receive the message of Christ. And I actually just want to take the time to encourage people here. This is another story that I just had in my mind, and you know what? I'm going to share it as well. So sometimes that door of opportunity doesn't come straight away. Sometimes it comes over time. And I actually had a lovely lady that I met on the plane about 5 years ago. And I was just sharing, don't even know how we got to it, but the next thing we know, we were talking about her life and we were both crying, and this person was going through some deep struggles, and I shared about with my faith, etc. We added each other on Instagram and never really spoke again. I think she followed me on Instagram, etc. And then 5 years later, I posted posted a cover of a song that I did. Basically, it was a song, but I changed the lyrics to represent my testimony and how I came to know Jesus. And it was about how I met a boy, broke my heart, but then I met Jesus and he satisfied all my needs. And this person saw it and she messaged me 5 years. I haven't spoken to this person 5 years. She messaged me and she said, "Naomi, this saved my life today." and that she was in an abusive relationship. She was feeling alone. And she was about to take her own life, and she saw this post. And she said, "Naomi, that saved my life today. Will you tell me how Jesus satisfied all your needs?" And we ended up having a whole entire conversation on Instagram. Pray that God will open up a door of opportunity to the people around you. Amen. Another thing I like to pray for is pray for boldness and bravery. I love that Paul actually asks the church of Colossae to pray that he will share boldly the mystery of Christ in the way that he should. And I see Paul as this extremely fearless man. Once he became a believer, he went on and planted churches. He wrote letters to them rebuking them when they were listening to false teaching and encouraging them in grace and truth. But even fearless Paul asked for prayer to be bold and to share the mystery of Christ. And I think it's because it's really scary to put ourselves out there. To be seen as weird or to be seen as a bit too intense. But the Spirit of the Lord is not a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-control. So let us pray that God will instill in us a spirit of bravery and boldness when we go out into our 9-to-5, into our Monday and Friday. The last thing that I like to pray for is pray for the words to say. I think half the time we don't share our faith because we just don't know if we're going to make sense to the other person. There's so much Christian jargon. When you read the Bible, it is confusing. That's why we have all these teachers and resources on how to do it. But I just want to encourage us with this. God has the exact words to say. God knows exactly what that person needs to hear. He knows what kind of life that they have lived. He knows the experiences they've had, the dreams, the worries, and the fears that they have, and God knows what they need. And our role and our responsibility is simply to be a willing vessel for God to use. That's all. To be willing and ready for God to use us. To be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying and saying, "God, what do you want to say?" And just release it. And God will do the rest. Are we praying for God to use us? Are we praying that God will open up a door of opportunity with the people around us? Are we praying for the people in our 9-to-5 and in our Monday to Friday? And so I'll finish up. I just want to share a last encouragement. These are things that God specifically has placed on my heart. To represent Christ in my 9-to-5. And the reason why I do all of these things is because I have been so touched and so filled with the love of God that He has changed my life. Amen. He has saved me from every kind of brokenness, every kind of trial and hardship that I have gone through. And it's from this place of gratitude and thanksgiving that I feel so compelled to be like Christ in my everyday. And that's what worship is. Worship is the overflow of the love of God in our lives. So I want to actually just ask you, have you been touched and impacted by the love of God in your life? Have you been touched and impacted by the love of God in your life? Have you experienced the freedom and saving grace that God brings by what Jesus has done on that cross? That you are overflowing with a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving, that you long to bring worship and glory to God in every part of your life? Because if you have, you will bring worship. You will bring worship to your everywhere, to your everyone, and with your everything. So my prayer for the church is this. My prayer for you and I, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we will humbly come before the Lord and ask God to reveal and convict us more and more of who He is. What He has done, the mystery of the gospel.
Colossians 2, 6 to 7. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We aren't called to just fulfill checklists, but we are called to overflow God's love. You stand with me right now. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to declare. Lord, your love is so great. Your love is so strong. We thank you for it, God. May we be emptied and filled again and again to overflowing. Have a heart that is of yours, God, loving your people and seeing more and more come to know who you are. May this house be a house of worship, a house where you take center stage all the time, as your people are united, wanting to see you be above all things, always. In Jesus' name.